This is NFL Pregame with Jared Stillman, forever receiver Chris Sanders, and Mark Howard. Brought to you by E2 Roofing, FanDuel Sportsbook, Freedom Tire Guys, Hillside Medical Clinic, Harman Tractor and Equipment, Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey, Social Furniture, and TriStar Moving. NFL Pregame starts now on Nashville's Best Sports Talk,
ESPN
102.5 The Game, and the Game Nashville app.
And we are live from the Corner Pub in Bellevue. It is the pregame show on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Chris Sanders is here. Mark Howard is here. We're presented by TriStar Moving, Farm and Tractor and Equipment, FreedomTireGuys.com, FanDuel Sportsbook, E2 Roofing, Hillside Medical, Social Furniture, and Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey.
Yeah.
Happy Thanksgiving to everybody out there. I hope, Mark, you had a great Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I got to go up to New York and spend some time with my family. And nice. It was, in fact, we just got back last night, but it was terrific.
Now, I know Chris did not have a good Thanksgiving because I saw the Ohio State-Michigan game yesterday.
Okay, there we go.
So, I already know the Buckeyes out of the playoff. Now, my team lost by 45, so I'm not really one to talk. But we got a football game to get to today. One more before the bye for the Tennessee Titans. And I think Mark Howard, Chris Sanders, may be elevated up off the practice squad today to play for the Titans. And not just to play wide receiver, but I think they could use him at pass rusher.
There we go.
I think they might be able to use him in the secondary.
Absolutely.
And even though Chris holds the single NFL record for the least amount of rushing yards in the history of the National Football League, they may be able to use him at running back today, too.
Yeah. I thought Golden Tate. I was like, wow, that reeks of desperation.
Oh, my God.
You know, a guy who hasn't played well in a couple of years, taken off the streets. And, you know, Golden Tate has an interesting past with the Titans because they wanted to bring him in for a visit. But you only get 30 visits for the draft. And they wanted Golden to just come in because he lived, you know, near the facility. And he wouldn't do it unless the Titans paid for it and made it one of their visits.
Yeah, I mean, just looking at Golden Tate, in my opinion.
And he's not even, by the way, available to play today.
I mean, just watching him in drills, he doesn't look like the explosive Tate in 2014 where he had 99 catches.
2014 being the operative number here.
I mean,
he doesn't look explosive like that. I'm not being Debbie Downer. But we got to get somebody in here that can make some plays. We need somebody that can go downfield. I know it's just funny because I thought about you. Who scored for Detroit last week?
Reynolds. Your guy.
I thought about that. I'm like, how in the world is he going to go to Detroit and score a touchdown, but he couldn't score a touchdown for the Tennessee Titans? So we need somebody to come in here and go downfield and make some plays. Maybe that's Mark Howard.
So here's the crazy thing. And I know the NFL, like, crazy things happen in this
Absolutely.
League. Last week is an example of that, but – the Titans are sending out a preseason roster to go take on the Patriots, who might be the hottest team in the NFL.
Right.
And I saw this. Now, I saw this in Tampa Bay with my own eyes when they scrimmaged the Buccaneers for 2 days. And the offense was somewhat similar at the time. It was Tannehill, Firkser, Westbrook Akina, Cam Batson, Chester Rogers, and Jeremy McNichols. Right. So now today it's going to be Tannehill, Nick Westbrook Akina, Chester Rogers, Deontay Foreman and Jeff Swaim and Firkser. And the first day, just kicked the Bucs square in the rear end. Mm-hmm. And then the second day, and Arians at the podium after the first day was furious with the way the Bucs practiced. Brady was upset with how they practiced. And the next day, with that same group of guys, the Titans got embarrassed in the second day of practice, and Vrabel was like, oh, yeah, that practice. I asked him when he came off, I go, you know, to start it, you could tell he was in a bad mood. I go, Coach, how's practice? I thought it sucked. You know, Vrabel was all been out of shape. So one day with this backup cast of guys, they outplayed the Buccaneers. The next day, they got their butts kicked. They're playing a preseason roster today with Ryan Tannehill at quarterback.
Well, this.
But it's the NFL.
Yeah, but this problem, part of this problem lies with John Robinson, who's done a lot of good things, but he has not built depth through the draft on this roster, and now they're paying the price going out and getting all these street free agents who are below starting level players in the NFL.
Sure.
You know, there are a lot of good players out there, but let's be honest. there aren't a lot of guys that are going to be difference makers. There are guys that you can, you know, maybe plug in and hope for the best for a week or two. But it's pretty devastating if I told you that Ryan Tannehill was going to have to play a game without Derrick Henry, without A.J. Brown, without Julio Jones. I mean, it's just crazy the level of injuries that have hit the Titans. And, you know, here they are in Foxborough today, and we'll have to see what happens.
You know, it's funny because I'm going to take one of your quotes. You said this last week when you were on the radio. You said this. You said, who cares? you said that all week. The Patriots don't care. The teams that they play later on down the road, they don't care if you have all kind of injuries. They're battling injuries. They're going through situations because at the end of the day, they're not going to look at how many guys that are hurt. They're going to look if you have a win or a loss. That's just basically what it is. And I agree with you, and that's funny because I actually agree with you with one thing. When you say who cares, nobody cares about your injuries. It's about getting the job done. Even if you win 2-0, the point is you have to win the ball game. And I think, in my opinion, we got to figure out a way to keep this score low with the Patriots, because if we don't, it can get out of hand. But in the back of my mind, I think something crazy is going to happen for the Tennessee Titans to sneak up and win.
Well, the other part of this is, and you're right, and Jared's right too, you know, Bill Belichick is not going to send flowers over to Mike Vrabel, who was 2-0 against him, right, and, you know, really embarrassed them twice with Tom Brady. But they're a young, ascending club who has drafted well, who stockpiled draft picks, went out and made a great signing in Matthew Judon, ooh, who, you know, who, ooh, could be the defensive MVP of the league. And they developed a quarterback finally in Mac Jones. You know, they were looking for Tom Brady's successor. They didn't panic, but they found him in the middle of the first round. And you know, lately he has become the darling of the NFL with the way that he's playing.
You know, just looking at – oh, you want to go ahead?
Well, I was just going to tell a story. I think you were there when we heard this, but uh-huh, when Floyd was in the ICU around the draft time, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, he had a nurse at Vanderbilt who was a big football fan, knew who he was or whatever, and Floyd's in the ICU, and he tells the nurse, book it, Jones to the Patriots.
Wow.
That he said the Alabama kid is going to the Patriots. The thing I will say about the Patriots, to Chris's point, Bill Belichick is trying to win the way Bill Belichick won in 2001. He is not, yeah, trying to win how he tried to win in 2007 and in 2014, and he's not trying to win that way. He's trying to win how he won in 2001, which was with great defense and with kind of, you know, throwing the ball short and running the football and managing the game. And I saw a report from Ian Rappaport of NFL Network that the Titans are basically planning to give the ball to Deontay Foreman today, and that's exactly what I would do if I were the Titans, is I'd run, and I'd be willing to punt to the Patriots because, you know, the Patriots, I don't think you're going to see the Patriots taking a bunch of shots down the field with Mac Jones. And to Chris's point, I think if you get into this kind of game where you just want to run it and they just want to run it and your, yep, defense and their defense kind of trade punches, yep, you may have a one-possession game in the fourth quarter. And right now, given what we see from the Titans, Chris, I feel, yep, like this is kind of the best-case scenario to ask for is, you know, minimize the game,
yes,
and try to get this to a one-possession game in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, we always talk about defense wins championships, and I think this is a perfect game for the Tennessee Titans to really step up on defense. I mean, I know they played great all season, and they've been making big plays, but the one game that really sticks out to me, excuse me, is when they played the Rams. Everybody said that the Tennessee Titans had absolutely no chance to beat the Rams. How did they win? They won on defense. They got a interception by David Long Jr., and then they get a pick six by Byard. So when you have your defense scoring touchdowns, it just makes everything run smoother. But at the end of the day, if the Tennessee Titans don't score on defense and they try to win in the offense, that's when it becomes a long day. So it all depends on what the Tennessee Titans defense does.
Well, Jones hasn't been turning the ball over. They've got to figure out a way to get him off his spot.
Yes.
And then, you know, he becomes a mere mortal. You know, and that's the other part. And they've got some good receivers. You know, Aguilar is inconsistent, but he's a good deep threat. You know, Jacoby Myers has been pretty good. You know, but the other part of this equation, you know, just flip it as far as the Titans are concerned. Dontrell Hilliard is, you know, is arguably their better back, even than Foreman. So I wouldn't be surprised if Hilliard got more touches today than Deontay Foreman.
You know, and I just think that looking at the Tennessee Titans offense, they can't make mistakes. I mean, they can't, you know, Tannehill can't throw interceptions, receivers can't run the wrong routes. You know, Tannehill can't consistently keep getting hit. So it's just going to be an interesting matchup of what we're going to see. I don't know what's going to happen. I just think that it's going to be closer than what we think because all the odds are against the Tennessee Titans. But at the end of the day, you know, the team that wins, even if it's 1-0, it's good. It should be all right.
Listen, last week there were a couple of those interceptions that I didn't think were Tannehill's fault, but he is not throwing the ball with confidence.
Again? Could you say that again for Jared to hear, please?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, Des Fitzpatrick, at least on one occasion, you know, was not where he should have been. Yeah. But still, I mean, I don't like the way Tannehill, you know, played. I don't think anybody has. He's clearly regressed. I mean, it's kind of funny. You know, we used to, you know, with the Predators, refer to Colin Wilson as regular Colin Wilson and playoff Colin Wilson. Well, with Tannehill, it's Titan Tannehill or Dolphin Tannehill, and he looks like the uncertain, unconfident quarterback that he was with the Dolphins.
And he looked that way before all these guys got hurt. You know, like when Derrick Henry was on the team against the Colts and the Chiefs and the Colts, he threw the ball to the other team when he shouldn't have. And this is a big concern. He leads the NFL in interceptions. Ryan Tannehill, the guy who, when you signed him, you said, hey, the key to Ryan Tannehill is that no matter what, Ryan Tannehill will not turn the ball over. Mm-hmm. And here's Ryan Tannehill leading the league in picks, which is, to me, just totally inexcusable. And this is where I go back to running the football. And this is what to me, and this is just me, today I'm going to Foreman. I'm looking at Foreman, and I said, Deontay, you are never going to get another chance like this maybe in your entire life. Because Foreman was a backup here last year, got cut in the middle of the season. Once he got cut, nobody picked him up. I think the Falcons had him in camp for like a week and cut him. And nobody had him on a practice squad, and Derrick Henry got hurt, and the Titans brought him back in. So I'm going to say, Deontay, this is the best opportunity you're going to get for the rest of your life.
You know,
but you get to be Derrick Henry today, where you get it 25 times.
What scares you is this could turn in to a game similar to the Thursday night game against Atlanta, where the Titans just can't – the Titans' defense will hang in there for just about the whole game, but their offense can't do anything.
Right.
But what did Atlanta do in that game, though, that essentially Atlanta turned the ball over four times?
Right. No doubt.
And so that's why I'm taking the ball out of Tannehill's hands today. I'm taking it out of Tannehill, and I'm saying, okay, I'm going to try to make this game as short as possible. And if I got a punt, I got a punt. But what I'm not doing is I'm not giving them the ball at the Tennessee 42-yard line. I'm not doing that.
Well, unfortunately, too, this would be a day where you would feature your tight ends, but the tight end to feature is playing for the other team.
Yes.
So that's kind of a negative.
I went on the radio in Boston yesterday, and they were asking me, you know, about Tannehill, or could Tannehill pull this out? And I was like, well, if Jonnu Smith switched teams, then maybe there's a chance. But no, I did not feel very confident in that ability. Coming up next, we'll take a look at the big four stories of the game. We'll move the chains as we are live here at Corner Pub in Bellevue. Chris Sanders, Mark Howard, Titans and Patriots today. And then it's the bye week. It's the pregame show on ESP at 102.5 The Game. And Patriots right here coming up later today in Foxborough on CBS. Then it is the bye. Let's be honest, the Titans have all the injuries in the world, but they still have a big game to play. And if New England wins today, they would take the number one seed in the AFC from the Titans. And as much as you can't go back and do it again, that loss last week to the Texans looms very large. It's time now to take a look at the big four stories in the game. We go moving the chains with TriStar Moving. TriStar Moving, my official movers. They are TriStar Movers with five-star service. We start at first down. First down. The injuries. The bye is upcoming, but A.J. Brown yesterday placed on IR. He joins Julio Jones. He joins Derrick Henry. He joins Bud Dupree. And David Long Jr. will be out this week as well. Five of the most important players on the Tennessee Titans. Chris Sanders, do you feel as if there is a light at the end of the tunnel approaching the bye with all of these injuries, or are the Titans in some deep trouble?
I mean, it's both. I mean, I still think that there's some light at the end of the tunnel because, you know, just the reason why I say that is because their defense is keeping them in games. You know, that's the reason why I'm saying that. You know, I know the offense is struggling. I know they, you know, they did some crazy things on offense. But at the end of the day, we always say this defense wins championships. And then if we can just be a little bit consistent on offense, I don't know. It's just one of those games that I think that we're going to sneak up and do something crazy and win the game. I mean, I know everybody's hurt. I know a lot of guys are hurt on defense. A lot of guys are hurt on offense. But this is what Vrabel is built for. He's built for situations like that. Because look at the games that they played, you know, when they were supposed to lose. They should have lost to the Bills. They won 34-31. They should have lost to the Chiefs. They won 27-3. Then they should have lost to the Colts 34-31. Then all of a sudden with the Rams 28-16. The reason why they won those games is because their defense kept them in the game. So if they do the same situation today, I know they have a lot of players out on defense, a lot of players out on offense, but if they keep it close, run the ball, the Tennessee Titans can definitely be successful.
You know, it's interesting to hear Steven Gostkowski, who still wants to kick, by the way, but, you know, has been through some stuff, talk about his time with the Titans in a very positive way. And he talked about the underdog mentality that Mike Vrabel is imbued in this team, and you know, he's going to be. He talked about, you know, he's taking his son up to the game today, but he thinks it's funny, you know, Vrabel against Belichick, and you know, something about this rivalry, if you want to call it a rivalry, but it brings out the best in Vrabel and the Titans, and you wonder if he can do it again today.
You know, and I think the pressure is not a lot just on the players. But I think the pressure's on the coordinators. I mean, you got Todd Downing, the offensive coordinator for the Tennessee Titans. You have Sean
I don't think
Bourne.
There's any pressure on the Titans to win this game.
I mean, guys, let's be really.
They don't have any players.
No, I'm not saying there's pressure.
Nobody
from winning
expects
the game.
Them, except for you, nobody expects them to win. Do you expect Titans to win today, Mark?
No, but I'll tell you what. It's interesting how this is going to affect the coaching staff. Because I thought Vrabel had a terrible game against Houston in terms of game management. You know, just in a lot of ways, I thought he made some mistakes that I think reflected the final score. I think it should have been a one-score game on the Titans' last possession and all that. So it's going to be interesting to see if the staff sort of refocuses. And the one thing that this staff has been able to do is scheme it up when they don't have as good a personnel as the other team. And just sort of figure out a way to give them a chance to win. You got to execute and all that. But I guarantee you, you're going to see a lot of A-gap blitzes. And
yep.
You're going to see them try to discombobulate Mac Jones. And I think that's going to be one of the keys today to victory for the Titans.
You know, and I think on offense, I agree with you 100%, Jared, is they have to run the ball. And look at who they signed off the practice squad, Blassing Game. I mean, he's your fullback. So they're going to go a lot more 21 personnel, two backs, one tight end, and two wide receivers. So when you try to play that physical ball, just like I hate to say this, just look at what Michigan did to Ohio State. They went back to old school. They said, okay, we're going to run down your face, we're going to run through your lips, and I dare you to stop us. That's kind of the mentality that the Tennessee Titans need to have today. So, you know what? We're going to get in 21 personnel. We're going to run down your face, and we're going to dare you to stop us, even though they're the third-ranked defense in the league.
That takes us to second down. Ryan Tannehill leads the NFL in interceptions. He makes $30 million a year to be the quarterback of the Titans, and it is absolutely unequivocally unacceptable for Ryan Tannehill to be doing that. He does not look like the same guy that he was for 26 games as the Titans starter in 2019 and 2020. Mark Howard, what is wrong with Tannehill? And can the Titans trust him without any top receivers in today's game?
Well, you know, and Chris knows this too. This is not just one thing. This is, you know, flimsy protection by the offensive line. This is, you know, having to play with substandard receivers. You know, you can throw Brady out there with Curly Larry and Moe, and he's going to find a way to beat you. That really isn't the case, you know, with Tannehill most of the time. But Tannehill, in my mind, is not playing with the confidence that he did the first 2 years as a Titan. And he's got to figure out a way to get it back. And I don't know if he's seeing ghosts or whatever, but he's made some terrible throws. And let's remember, you know, he leads the NFL in interceptions, as you say, Jared. But there were a few at the beginning of the season that he should have been intercepted on that were dropped, mm-hmm. you know, by the other team. So, you know, it's not like this has come along the last few weeks.
You know, I just think that everybody needs to be in sync. It's kind of like salsa dancing. If one step is off, it's going to mess up the whole dance routine. That's exactly what it is. So, if you look at overall on the offensive line is struggling in pass pro. You got the receivers running the wrong routes and not coming back to the ball or, you know, running the right concepts of the route. So, if that's off and then you have the quarterback that's throwing four interceptions in the game, that's just a recipe for disaster. So, it just goes back to the fundamentals of just football, running the route right, coming back on the curl. If you're running a post corner, settle with your eyes, basing it off the night, all the things that you talk about of, you know, paying attention to details. If you don't do those things and you start playing against defenses that are really, really good, then it really starts to expose itself.
But do you guys trust Tannehill today? Like, if I'm coaching, I'm taking the ball out of his hands today. Not because if I had all the guys there, then I'd say, okay, you know, I can play the standard way the Titans play, and if Tannehill throws interceptions, then I'll make more adjustments from there. But one, I don't trust Tannehill to make the right decision right now. Two, I don't trust these wide receivers to get open, and I certainly don't trust them to catch the ball or run the right route. And three, I think you got to keep the clock rolling today. So if I'm coaching, I'm taking the ball out of Tannehill's hands, but I'm not sure I do trust him right now.
What, are you going to run the wishbone today? I mean,
no, I mean, I'm going to run it three times and I'll punt the ball.
You have to trust
him.
Yes,
absolutely.
You've got to put the ball in his hands and hope that he plays well. And like I said, you know, to me, it's never totally on one guy. You know, Des Fitzpatrick, yeah, he can catch the ball. He just doesn't know where he is most of the time. And, you know, Chris can tell you, he does. He needs more disciplined routes from his receivers.
So I understand that Des Fitzpatrick made a couple mistakes last week, and I don't think Des Fitzpatrick's any good. But, I mean, Ryan Tannehill doesn't lead. That's his stat. Like, that is his stat, leading the NFL in interceptions. That's not Des Fitzpatrick's fault.
Yeah, wins and losses with quarterbacks, too, where quarterbacks get way too much credit sometimes for wins and much too much criticism for losses.
He's throwing the ball. Okay.
But here's where what it boils down to is it goes back to Todd Downing not putting him in position to fail. And when I say this, just listen to me for a second, is – if you look at if they go like a 10 personnel and they go to 3-by-1 set, then now you just run crossing routes and make them throw easier throws as opposed to throwing slants and running corner routes and throwing deep routes. I mean, if you look at what they do, you know, run little rub routes like what they did. I think it was a couple of weeks ago where Johnson caught like a little rub route and it ran like 50 yards. Things like that. Don't throw slants. Don't throw digs to where he has to go to a second and third read. Make it easy for him to make those easy throws.
Yeah, Chris is right. You know, they use those crossing routes and those rub routes. You know, they use that bunch set, you know, sometimes a little bit. You know, a lot of different things. And I think, you know, sometimes coordinators like a game like this because it forces them to really be creative and come up with stuff.
Absolutely.
And like I said, he's going to try to figure out a way to get Tannehill going early. You know, if Tannehill plays well early, usually he plays well the rest of the game. You know, we've seen Tannehill play terrible for a half and play good in the second half. So, you know, he's been pretty confounding that way. But Todd Downing is going to try to find a way, you know, to get his quarterback going, to bring out the best in him. He's not going to play scared. He's not going to play let's keep their offense off the field, because that's not really the Patriots anyway. The Patriots are not an offensive machine. They're opportunistic. They take advantage of, you know, good field position, and their defense takes the ball away. Turnovers are verboten today, because that will lead to a loss.
That takes us to third down.
Third down.
Third down for the Titans. Mike Vrabel, 2-0 against Bill Belichick in his career, and I will argue that in both instances, Mike Vrabel has outcoached Bill Belichick, so much so that in the playoff win a couple of years ago, Floyd Reese said, and we all know Floyd and Bill, best friends forever, that Floyd said that he was disappointed with Bill's game plan. Mm. Bill Belichick is widely regarded, and I consider him the greatest coach in the history of the NFL, Mark Howard. What do we make of Vrabel 2-0 against Belichick? And both times, Titans were underdogs.
Well, first of all, I agree with you that, in my mind, without a doubt, Belichick is the greatest head coach in the history of the league.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't want to hear all this guy, but, you know, it's Tom Brady. Well, show me a championship coach, I'll show you, a likely Hall of Fame quarterback that's playing for him on rare occasions.
Bill Walsh had some good quarterbacks, I think. You know,
yeah, exactly. So did everybody. But you know, I really think. Listen, even great coaches sometimes don't have great games. And I thought that, you know, I thought Vrabel and the Titans going up to win at New England was one of the best wins in the history of the franchise. You know, because that was something that Jeff's teams, you know, could never seem to do, mm-hmm. is go up to Foxborough and beat the Patriots.
Yeah, Chris.
Different. Well, he knows I'm right.
He's right.
And I remember one of the first games I covered at the old stadium in Foxborough, Lauren Malloy with that late interception against McNair. Yeah. But anyway, I just think that I love this coaching staff. I really do. You know, and the thing about the Titans is there are some things that make you crazy, but there are some things that you really like about this franchise. And this is kind of a circle of wagons. I don't know how many times you can ask them to do it, but this is a week I think they're going to go up and be competitive. I don't know if they're going to win, but I don't think they're going to get blown out.
I mean, I do too. I mean, it starts with the head coach. And I want to talk about Belichick a little bit. And I agree with you guys 100%. I think he is the best NFL head coach that I've ever seen. And I'm going to tell you why. When you have a great coach, he has to make tough decisions. And I'm going to tell you about this year. We talked about, you know, having Mac Jones and Cam Newton in camp at the same time. Cam Newton actually was playing better than Mac Jones. But as Belichick being a great coach and seeing, okay, what fits my team better, he picked Mac Jones. And everybody's like, well, why would you pick him? He's a rookie, and you got Cam Newton that's playing well. So, you know, with him making those tough decisions makes him a great, great coach. But at the end of the day, getting back to the Tennessee Titans, I don't think Belichick and Mike Vrabel are really focusing on their battles. They're focusing on winning the game. So I'm kind of leaving it at that.
That takes us to fourth down.
Fourth down.
The special teams had been so good for so little period of time. But we were excited, and then Randy Bullock misses an extra point, which, bad weather. Randy Bullock's been good so far. And what was Chester Rogers doing on the punt return? You can argue that muffed punt cost the Titans the football game on Sunday. Guys, special teams were looking good. Bad week last week against the Titans.
No, you're absolutely right. You wanted to throw something at the TV when Chester Rogers did that.
I'd throw something at Chester.
It's just absolutely, you know, inexcusable. And yeah, you're right. You take that away, and you know, in my opinion, it's a different football game. But hey, you know, the Titans have been opportunistic, you know, when they've been the underdogs. But it's like we said, they can't make mistakes like that.
Yeah.
And they've got to win the field position battle. They've got to win the special teams battle, and they're capable of doing that. That's one area I think where they have a chance, you know, to have the edge today.
You know, I mean, just looking at special teams, if you look at some of the teams, some teams really take pride in working on special teams, and you cannot keep a team like Texas in the game by making silly things like that, missing extra points, missing a field goal, or, you know, getting the ball hitting you on a punt. So you can't do those things, because when you do those things, it keeps those teams that are 1-8 in the game. So, you know, especially today, you cannot do that against the Patriots, because you're going to look up and it's going to be 55-0.
Coming up next, we'll take a look at the Titans offense. What does Todd Downing need to do with a very limited cast? We'll go inside the playbook, and we'll do that coming up next here on the pregame show live from the Corner Pub in Bellevue. Mark, Chris, and Jared, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Inside the Offensive Playbook is brought to you by E2 Roofing. Trust the roofers with integrity. E2 Roofing, a veteran-owned and operated local Nashville roofer. Ian Rappaport, NFL Network, reporting this morning on NFL Game Day Morning that Titans running back Deontay Foreman will start today for the Titans and is expected to get the bulk of the carries. Whatever you guys want to make of that, this is what I make of it. And that is, I think the Titans are planning with all the injuries, no wide receivers today. They never had a tight end, and they never really had a right tackle. With the no wide receivers today, I think the Titans are going to run the football as if Derrick Henry is in there without Derrick Henry on their team. According to Ian Rappaport, Foreman is expected to get the bulk of the carries. Dontrell Hilliard is also an option at running back for the Titans today. Chris Sanders, we start with you. How would you do it today if you were Todd Downing?
I mean, I agree with you 100%. I mean, you know the Patriots are sixth in stopping the run, which is great. But the Tennessee Titans need to run right at these dudes. I mean, they can't be afraid. And I know you said this earlier in the show. You know, they need to run right at them, but the Tennessee Titans can't be afraid to do that. And I think that that's exactly what they're going to do. That's why they put Blassingame in the fullback. So I just think if they do that, stay in front of the chains. Don't get into third and long, because if you get in third and long, then now we put the ball in Tannehill's hands. So I agree with them 100% to get Foreman, because if you look at all the running backs that's been run, I know AP's gone, Adrian Peterson is gone, you have Hilliard. But out of all the three running backs that we saw, I think Foreman has been running physical. He's been getting those extra yards, and he's falling forward and he needs to stand in front of the chain. So I think it's a great job for the Tennessee Titans with Todd Downing and Mike Vrabel by putting Foreman in and starting him.
I just can't wait for the Adrian Peterson tribute video.
Oh, hey. Is he going into Canton as a Titan? You know what I mean?
But you know, seriously, I don't think they're going to run the single wing today as much as Jared might want.
I want him to run the Derrick Henry offense with Foreman as Derrick Henry. And I know that Foreman is not Derrick Henry. Like, I get it. I understand he's not. But, you know, coming into a game like this, how many carries will we say for Derrick?
I say we said like between
high 20s.
Yeah, I think he touched it 28 times a game. 25 for Foreman today.
Okay, let me ask you a question. What if it's third and nine? You still want to run the ball?
I would not be upset on third and nine with Tannehill in the shotgun giving the ball to Hilliard on a draw and bringing out the punt unit. Punting is not bad today, people.
Absolutely. No, it's not. But,
like, that's my thing is this with the Patriots. The Patriots have been red hot lately, and a lot of it's because they played some really crap teams. But I think the thing that they're doing right now is they are taking the football away from teams. And your quarterback, regardless of whether it's not, it's the line's fault, the coordinator's fault, the receiver's fault, whatever you want, your quarterback is turning over the football. So how do I keep the Patriots, who are turning everybody over and feasting off of turnovers, from taking advantage of my turnover-prone team led by my turnover quarterback? It's to run and punt and put Mac Jones at his own, you know, 31-yard line and make him drive 70 yards to score on.
Yeah, I don't think the coaches are going to surrender like that.
I don't think it's surrendering.
They're going to just hope that Tannehill plays well. No, are they going to be, throw it 35 times? Maybe not, but you never know which way the game is going to go. Tannehill threw the ball a lot last week.
52.
Yeah. That's not good either. And it wasn't like it was a blowout, but, they don't have supreme confidence in the running game either. They want the running game, obviously, to put them in good position on second and third downs. But they don't want to constantly be looking at second and nine, third and eight. So they're going to be aggressive. I mean, they just are. They're not going to sit back there and hope they can win a game 10-7.
You know, you got to be on an attack. And just the mindset of Mike Vrabel and Todd Downing, I agree with you, Mark. They're not going to sit back and say, okay, we're just going to run the ball, and then we're going to pass. No, I'm telling you, they're going to come out, and they're going to come out on all cylinders, because the way you attack a defense that's been playing well is you got to run right at them. You have to go. And I understand they don't have the personnel. Understand receivers are out. Understand that Derrick Henry's not in the game. But at the end of the day, you still have to have players to execute and do their job. And if they do their job, Foreman runs the ball and the receivers catch the ball once in a while and stay in front of the chains, don't look up and see that the Tennessee Titans are winning.
How would you line them up at wide receiver today? Available for the Titans. Westbrook Akina is available today. Chester Rogers is available. Des Fitzpatrick is available. Cody Hollister is available. And I believe there's somebody else I'm leaving off.
Kinsey's not?
He is not available today.
Wow.
So that's what you're looking at wide receiver today. How would you line him up, Chris Sanders?
I mean, just like what we talked about, I'll put him in a bunch formation, a 3-by-1, and run a lot of those rub routes. Don't do or don't have these receivers doing things they're not accustomed to doing. We don't need to throw the ball, down the field, because there's not a receiver on this team that can catch the ball down the field. So what you do, you go a 3-by-1, you run rub routes, you catch the ball, you let those guys run yards after the catch. So even if you get 6 or 7 yards on a pass, that's still staying in front of the chain. So if they could do that and these guys can get open, I think they'll be okay.
Yeah, you're going to see the short to intermediate passing game.
Gino Belichick's going to bring everybody up, you know, to keep that from.
And that's why
that's in the bunch for me.
That's why you run those rub routes and those crossing routes, you know, to try to maybe confuse them a little bit or create space for Tannehill, and maybe it'll work.
Here's what you're looking at as far as available pass catchers today: Nick Westbrook-Ikhina, Chester Rogers, Des Fitzpatrick, Cody Hollister, Jeff Swaim, Michael Pruitt, Tommy Hudson, Anthony Firkser. I think you're going to see a lot of Firkser today. And we talk about, you know, last chance or whatever. Firkser has been a no-show this season. I think they're going to play him a lot today.
Close to his school today, have it.
I mean, if that's what he played well against the Patriots in the playoffs a couple years ago. It was a big factor in that win with a touchdown pass and the big third down catch. But, I mean, it's starting to be put up or shut up time for Anthony Firkser. I mean, he does not. If he can't play better than he's played this year, he does not belong in the NFL. So how much of a factor is he going
to
be?
I mean, he's going to have to be a factor. And when I say be a factor, even if he just goes and sits in those holes and catch a ball for 6 or 7 yards, that's still staying in front of the chains. But the one thing that he has to do is, this is my opinion, he's got to make sure he runs the proper routes. I mean, I know we talked about, you know, Tannehill throwing interceptions, but if you look at the one where I think it was the fourth interception when they played last week against the Texans, he's got to run that corner route high. And if he runs it high, he's going to have a chance to catch the football. So he just got to run the proper route, sit in those holes, make the right decision, and I think he'll be okay.
It's kind of interesting drawing the comparisons between Firkser, you know, who's really, you know, a pure pass catcher, not much of a blocker, and Jonnu Smith, you know, who made himself into a decent blocker, but to me never put up the numbers. You know, he didn't get the targets either when he was with the Titans. And how fired up, you know, he's going to be. He has not had a great season in New England. He has been somewhat of a disappointment. And you look at Jonnu, and Jonnu, you know, with that physical makeup and that speed and, you know, what he has, that doesn't totally add up to really what he should be. But it's going to be interesting today. Who's going to have the better day, Firkser or Jonnu?
I will put all of my money on Jonnu Smith. I mean, I think the thing about the Titans is, right now, we're kind of seeing what everybody really is. You know, like, the thing about the NFL, and this is why I think a lot of people love pro sports. Chris, and you know this.
Yes.
You can't fake this.
You, can't,
you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So the Titans in 2000 suffered a lot of injuries at wide receiver, and they had Derek Mason and Chris Sanders, and we found out, you know, Derek Mason and Chris Sanders might actually be better than what they had in guys like Yancey Thigpen and Dyson and Carl Pickens and things like that. And right now what we're seeing is, you know, the Titans talked themselves into trading for Julio Jones. That has been an unmitigated disaster, and it will continue to be a disaster for this season and next season. They, you know, A.J. Brown has injury issues, and this is, again, is another problem that they're having. They tried to talk themselves in that Anthony Firkser could be a starting tight end in the NFL. He can't be. You know, Tannehill, I took the cheese on Tannehill when it was Tannehill or Brady. I said to go with Tannehill. That was a mistake on my part, because Tannehill, now that he's on an island by himself, is not playing very well. So, to me, this is kind of the moment for a lot of these guys of, hey, are you going to have the opportunity to become a player in the National Football League? And I'm talking to Firkser, and I'm talking to Fitzpatrick, and I'm talking to Pruitt, and I'm talking to Westbrook-Ikhina, and I'm telling you guys want to be in the National Football League, you're going to have to go out on a day-to-day and make some plays, because you're never going to get another opportunity like this again. For most of the guys who are playing on offense for the Titans today, they will never get another opportunity like this. So if they're going to make it in the NFL, we're going to find out today.
You know, that's why I say that the Tennessee Titans are going to be competitive in this game, is because you have guys that are hungry, and they're auditioning maybe for this team, but also for the team next year. So they're going to play every play like it's their last play. So they're going to make plays that may not be what we think they should make. But these guys are hungry to make plays. I mean, look at Fitzpatrick. Fitzpatrick is a fourth-round draft pick. He got cut, then he came back on the practice squad. You don't think he's hungry to make big plays? Then you have Westbrook.
Yeah, he might be hungry, but he may not be very
good. I'm just saying, he's going to go 109 miles per hour to try to make plays to help this Tennessee Titans team. Then you have Rodgers. That was with Indianapolis and went to different teams, and he wants to continuously to try to prove himself. Then you have Westbrook, the same exact thing. These guys are going to say, okay, you know what, even though Julio Jones isn't here, even though A.J. Brown's not here, I still can make plays. And that's exactly how me and Derek felt when Yancey Thigpen and Kevin Dyson and those guys got hurt. We're like, whoa, 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 hold on. I'm in this league for a reason. I made the all-rookie team for a reason. I averaged 23.5 yards catch per pass. So I can play this game. These guys are the same way. We know that those top dogs are not there. But guess what? I'm here right now to make some plays.
NFL's a funny little dog. I remember the Titans going up to Green Bay with a bunch of street free agents and just absolutely getting slaughtered. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, listen, remember what prompted the switch to Vince Young when Hasselbeck was there? It was a loss to the Patriots. But, you know, we've also seen Vrabel, you know, take a substandard team on the road, you know, or you know, at home, and upset some of the best teams in the league. And we'll find out what they're going to do today. For some reason, coming off a crappy game, I think they're going to play well today.
Yeah. Coming up next, we'll take a look at the other side of the ball. Mac Jones is one of the hottest names right now in the NFL. What do the Titans do defensively? No Bud Dupree this week. No David Long Jr. once again. What do they do against the Patriots? It is the pregame show live on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Inside the Playbook, brought to you by E2 Roofing. Trust the roofers with integrity. E2 Roofing, a veteran-owned and operated local Nashville roofer. Mac Jones has been the big name so far amongst rookie quarterbacks in the NFL, completing 70.2% of his passes through the season. He also, surprisingly, although maybe not for what he did in college, 14 touchdowns to 8 interceptions so far on the season for Mac Jones. As of late, he has not turned the football over, but also not throwing for eye-popping stats. As Mac Jones has gone over 300 yards once this season, he threw for 307 against the Jets, 207 in his last start, 198, 139, and 217 in the last four starts since then. Very Ryan Tannehill-like numbers out of Mac Jones. Mark Howard, we start with you. How worried are you Titans defense? No David Long Jr., no Rashawn Evans today. Perhaps Monty Rice will get himself into the good graces and back onto the football field ahead of Dylan Cole at linebacker today. No Bud Dupree. John Simon signed to the active roster. How do you feel about the Titans defense against Mac Jones? And
well, I think it's imperative that the D-line, you know, Jeffrey Simmons has a, you know, has a penchant sometimes for disappearing. Mm-hmm. He's got to be the guy that we saw, you know, during that stretch, you know, where he was just dominant. He and Danico Autry, you know, Trent Brown is one of the key Patriots offensive linemen. They should be able to win the battle against him. And Harold Landry's got to figure out a way to get to Mac Jones. Harold's having a fantastic year, a career season. And if that D-line plays well, the guys behind them will play well. You know, Byard has done a great job of setting up quarterbacks. This is going to be a great cat-and-mouse deal, you know, with Byard against the rookie.
Yeah.
And Byard has, you know, again, had a knack for, you know, getting those interceptions. Not just interceptions, but those game-changing picks. But I think it's imperative that Simmons, Danico Autry, you know, and Harold Landry all have good games.
Shane Bowen. That's all I got to do is Shane Bowen. Look at what he did when they went against the Rams. You know, Stafford came in. He was the hottest quarterback of the league. He wasn't throwing interceptions. He was making the right reads. And what Shane Bowen did to confuse him, he was sending twists. He sent Simmons on a twist to sack the quarterback. Then you have David Long Jr. to get the interception. So Shane Bowen has to do that exact same thing, put pressure on Mac Jones, make him get off his spot, just like what Mark Howard said, and make him throw interceptions. I know his stats are really not that big, but the key stat that we really need to look at is he has 8 INTs. I mean, 8 INTs. That means he's capable of making mistakes. Yes? Oh, go ahead, Mark.
Well, I was just going to say, Chris, I don't think you're going to see a lot of exotic blitzes The Titans' defensive success is predicated on 4 guys being able to get to the quarterback.
That's what they've done is they went out. I mean, when you think about the defensive line, Simmons was a first-round pick. They used a second and a third on Landry. They paid Dupree a buttload of money, and they paid Autry a bunch of money. That's, you know, they're paying for the talent of those guys to go after and go get the quarterback. The crazy thing, I don't think that the defense has looked the same since Bud Dupree's gone back off the injury list. And it wasn't like Bud was racking up a bunch of sacks. But he had a strip sack of Mahomes in the Kansas City game, which was by far the best game the Titans have played this year. He had the strip sack on the first series of Mahomes. And I said, if he can do that, it changes everything. I thought he was really effective against the Rams. You know, the fourth and one, he's coming right at Stafford, and Stafford panics and throws the ball. Since Dupree's been out, it hasn't been the same for all those guys. And same with Long Jr., who I think is going to be sorely missed today against that run game of the Patriots.
No doubt about it. And it's a run game by committee. It's also an offense that throws a lot to their running backs. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Dupree's absence has had an effect. It's had an effect on Landry. You know, the way teams, block him, because if Dupree is able to rush the quarterback, then you almost have to pick your poison. And, you know, what they were able to do against Matt Stafford was, again, develop that interior rush.
Yep.
And we all know quarterbacks hate it when you rush, when you rush them up the middle. They get worried about their passing hands, all kinds of things crop up. But that could lead to greater success if the Titans are able to do that.
Yeah, and they really have to make him uneasy in the pocket. Look, we kind of referred to Stafford. Stafford's body language was like, man, get me out of this game. He was like, what did I get myself into? So if the Tennessee Titans can do that early against Mac Jones, then I think the Tennessee Titans can be successful, even though they have a couple of guys out. David Long is out. But that's okay if Autry and Simmons and Landry and those guys can put pressure on Mac Jones and make him throw interceptions. That's what's going to keep the Tennessee Titans in this game.
Do the Titans have the guys, if they don't necessarily get home off the jump, to be able to cover Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith? And now, like, the Patriots don't use Jonnu Smith. I don't know,
they might use him this game.
But Hunter Henry is Mac Jones' favorite target. And I think Hunter Henry could have a big, especially if the Titans play those zones where the tight ends just go sit down and then right over the middle into the tight end. You brought up throwing to the backs, Mark. I am worried today about the Titans with their depth on defense right now being able to cover those pass catchers for the Patriots.
Yeah, I mean, we saw them for years throwing to guys like James White. Mm-hmm. But you're right. I think today could be very conducive to their tight ends having a big day. Yeah, absolutely. Especially in pass coverage. I would say that would be a likely source, Hunter Henry and even Jonnu.
The one thing I'm concerned, I hope Shane Bowen doesn't do this, is he goes man-to-man with those receivers. I know they don't have eye-popping stats. I know Myers has 54 for 522, Bourne 37 for 562, and then Aguilar 29 for 386. So they may look at these numbers and say, okay, we're going to press these guys and try to stop the run, and all of a sudden those guys can run by us. That's the only thing I'm concerned about in the back end.
See, I don't think they're going to do that.
You don't think so?
No, they've been playing, that really sort of complicated, zone with some man concepts. But the one thing that they've done most of the year is tackle well, just avoid the yards after catch and make that offense beat you, with death by 1,000 paper cuts.
So, I told you Mac Jones stats. One 300-yard passing game, and everything has been pretty much 198, 231. Tom Brady's first season as a starting quarterback, he had one 300-yard passing game against the Chargers. Other than that, 168, 202, 203, 250, 107, 185, 258, 213. In the playoffs, Brady threw one touchdown pass. That was to David Patton. He had a 312-yard passing game on 52 attempts against the Raiders in the snow. But other than that, 115 and 145 for Tom Brady. So 145 for a Super Bowl MVP. That's what Belichick is trying to do with this team right now, is what they did that 2001 year, which makes me think Belichick is going to go into this game. And I think if you're the Titans, you almost have to operate under thinking what Belichick's going to do. And if Belichick does the other thing, then you're probably going to get caught with your pants down. But I don't think Bill's going to throw the ball deep today. And I think you got to kind of move your guys up a little bit and try to hit those wide receivers.
See, that scares me.
And I hear you. But if they don't want to throw for 300 yards. So if Bill says, okay, fine, we're going to come out and we're going to throw the ball down the field, then okay. But now you're risking it with a rookie quarterback that I don't think he trusts to play like that. So I'm willing to take that risk, and I'm willing to kind of bring it up and say, okay, I am going to try to get after this quarterback before he can sit back in the pocket and make the decision that he wants to make.
And I agree with you 100%. I don't think Belichick wants to do that, but just say if they go cover one, that's man-to-man across the board with one safety. and Mac Jones checks out of it and says, okay, I see him, man. I see Aguilar. Aguilar, okay, I got him. He's man to man, and the safety's cheating over to the left. That's still a safe throw. That's still kind of a safe throw, as opposed to saying, okay, we're going to just sit back and we're going to throw a post. We're going to go through the safe throw to where it's cover. Cover one, the safety cheats to the right, and Aguilar, they throw a deep to him. That's the only thing that I'm kind of concerned about.
Yeah, I think it's all situational. Yeah,
right.
You know, and I think they're going to take a couple of shots downfield to Aguilar. No question about it. He is really
he
their
can run, man.
Yeah, but, you know, but there are other receivers. You know, Kendrick Bourne has become a pretty dependable receiver. Jacoby Myers.
I think Belichick, though, and we know Belichick, yeah. Right? The fact that Belichick, what he doesn't ever want to do is feed into what you're best at. If I'm Belichick, I'm thinking about how do I lose this game today?
Well,
I lose the game by turning the ball over, and how do I turn the ball over against this team? I throw it in the vicinity of Kevin Byard. I do not think Belichick's going to go down the field in fear that Byard can make a play that changes the game.
I think the greater question is Belichick wins by usually taking away one thing that you really do best.
Yes.
And I would ask that question, how is he going to do that on each side of the ball?
Right. But and then even kind of what you were saying, you know, he's not going to just chuck it down the field. But it, and you said it's situations. Okay, say if Byard is covering Jonnu Smith and then it's man-to-man over there with Aguilar. He may check out of it and say, okay, you know what? It's man to man.
You think Belichick trusts this kid to chuck out of something like that?
I think the read takes him there. I don't think that Belichick wants him to do that. I think the read is going to say, okay, man, they got eight or nine guys in the box. It's cover one. Okay, I got Aguilar over here. I see Byard cheating over to the left. That means he's not going to, you know, go to the other side and try to get interceptions. I'm going to go with the safest throw, and that'll be just a fade route to Aguilar.
What do you think Belichick's going to take away today? I think this is off of what you said. I think Belichick is not going to let Ryan Tannehill run with the football.
Mm-mm.
So I think the idea of, you know, these boots and, you know, Tannehill's, you know, run pass option and what I think Belichick's going to have guys setting the edge right there at the corners. And if Ryan Tannehill tries to run with the football, they're going to kill him. That's the thing I think Belichick's going to do on defense. On offense, I think Belichick is keeping the ball away from Kevin Byard.
Oh, I agree absolutely. And I think his aim is going to be if he keeps Tannehill, you know, in the pocket. They'll get a lot of sacks. But you're right. You know, once Tannehill gets outside the pocket, he becomes really dangerous, either with his legs or even with his arm.
Coming up next, who's in, who's out? We'll get to that. A lot of names out for the Titans that won't make the inactive list because, well, quite frankly, the Titans have a lot of guys on IR, but also Mike Vrabel's keys to the game and what do we make of the Titans getting to the bye in the position they're in? That's all plus more coming up on the pregame show live from the Corner Pub in Bellevue. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. And who's out? And Mike Vrabel's Keys to the Game brought to you by the Hillside Medical Clinic, who is inactive today for the Tennessee Titans as they get set to take on the New England Patriots. Out for the Titans, running back Jeremy McNichols, corner Greg Maben, linebacker David Long Jr., linebacker Rashawn Evans, guard Nate Davis, outside linebacker Ola Adeniyi is out today for the Titans, defensive lineman Tier Tart is out for the Patriots today.
Tart's a key depth guy, yes. In my opinion.
I mean, I think right now, Ola Adeniyi's a key depth guy.
Yeah.
When
yes,
you don't.
Sir.
So here's what you're looking at on defensive line off the top of my head. You're looking at Jeffrey Simmons, Denico Autry, Harold Landry, John Simon, who was just re-signed to the roster, Derek Roberson, Larrell Murchison, and Naquan Jones today against the New England Patriots.
Naquan Jones has been pretty
well.
Good.
Yep.
Murchison has been decent. And, of course, John Simon went to that school in Ohio.
My bigger issue is I feel like the Titans, you know, the big one to me is Long Jr. I mean, I think Long Jr. is
he's playing well.
Really become a good player.
Yep.
And he hurt his hamstring in garbage time against the Rams.
God.
You know, the game was over, and he was on the field. And I know they'll tell you, can't take everybody out, can't play football scared, but I bet you that one bites Vrabel in the rear end.
Well, I agree. You can't play scared. There are just some years where it just seems like everybody's going down. It's crazy.
Has it ever been like this, though?
I've never seen anything like this.
I've never seen nothing like this.
For the Patriots, inactive linebacker Ronnie Perkins, running back J.J. Taylor, quarterback Jarrett Stidham, tight end Devin Asai-Sai, and guard Yasir Durant. So no big names out for the Patriots.
Yeah.
What do we make of the injury situation here with the Titans, where I do feel like the bye week is coming? I mean, this is how I think the Titans are probably going to lose today. And they'll be 8-4, tied for the top record in the conference, going into the bye week. They won't be the number one seed, but they'll still have a pretty good grasp on the division. And they're going to get some guys back after the bye week, but they won't get A.J. back after the bye week. They won't get Julio back right after the bye week. They won't get Bud Dupree after the bye week. They won't get those guys back right away after the bye week. Do we think the Titans can find a way to get healthy by the end of the year, get in and win the division, maybe get the one seed, and then have a chance in the playoffs?
Yeah, I think there's a scenario where they're much, much healthier. You know, most of these guys do not have season-ending injuries. And that starts with Derrick Henry, we don't think. If they get Derrick Henry back, ooh, you know, everything gets a lot better. I think, too, that, you know, the offensive line. I mean, tell me what an ideal situation for the offensive line is, and I'll pat you on the back. It's been kind of a moving target. But Aaron Brewer has done a solid job when he gets plugged in at guard. I'm not even going to get into Dylan Radins because I'm just not sure this year.
What a disaster.
Well, it's not a disaster if we're having the same conversation 2 years right from now.
I think it's a disaster if you have a team good enough to make the Super Bowl and you got first and second round picks not playing because they either weren't good enough
no
or they're
doubt
not healthy.
I think even with this break coming up, I don't think certain guys are going to be back. I know you talk about Julio Jones and Brown. But when you're talking about a hamstring, those things are hard to come back
from. Well, and Brown's out for the next three games.
See, that's what I'm saying.
So even though the bye, it's going to be this bye and two games
right
for AJ.
So, you know, if we can just get past this game, get a couple of key guys healthy like David Long Jr., then I think we can make a run for the Super Bowl. I mean, I understand injuries are a part of the game. They're just, I mean, there's nothing you can do. But I was what we said off air, has it ever been this bad? I mean, you got – it's not just guys. And I want to be careful when I say this. It's not just guys. It's your impact players. I mean, you got Julio Jones. You got Brown. You got David Long Jr. You got all these impact players that are sitting on the sidelines. So it really, really makes a difference.
I want to say maybe the year after Eddie George left, where I feel like everybody got hurt that season, the 2004 Titans season.
Yeah.
And Billy Vola. And, like, the end of the season, Doug Sling Johnson was playing quarterback.
Who?
I mean, it was a nightmare year, but that team was 5-11. You know, that was this team we're talking about, can they find their way into competing for a Super Bowl?
That team became, you know, just totally reliant on Billy Volek throwing the ball, you know, 50 times a game. You know, and Drew Bennett was the beneficiary because he got a big contract out of it with the Rams. But yeah, that was kind of crazy. I think this team is a lot better, a lot more competitive. That team's defense was terrible.
Yeah, and I think this team is a little different. I know I'm not trying to labor on this, but it's the attitude of the head coach. It's next man up. It's not having no pity party. I'm sad or woe is me, because at the end of the day, just like what you said, Jared, who cares? Nobody cares that your guy's hurt. Nobody cares that Julio's hurt. Nobody cares that Brown is hurt. At the end of the day, the guy that's in position, we need to get the same results as those other guys that were supposed to be in there.
And Vrabel would tell his assembled team, guys, the answers are in this room.
And
who's going to step up? And, you know, that's what – you know, the year the Eagles won the Super Bowl, they went through an incredible wave of injuries, but there was a mentality there. You know, we keep talking about a next man up mentality. Mm-hmm. Titans have have some of that, although it's like next man, next man, next man, next man. But you know, they've got at least in my mind a pretty good attitude about
absolutely
that.
Time for Mike Vrabel's keys to the game. The Patriots.
Let's go.
Are they still the Patriots? Here's what Mike Vrabel said.
They're very good up front with technique. The technique in which they play, the linebackers are physical. The guys on the edge, you know, whether that's Judon, Van Noy, you know, Collins when he was in there, you know, they ask him to rush, they ask him to cover and set the edge. So secondary is physical, reroute players, and you know, they're taking advantage of overthrows. They're taking advantage of mistakes by the opposing offenses.
Who does that sound like?
Our
defense.
By the way, you got to hear Steve Belichick had a press conference. You know, the NFL requires you to make coordinators available. Mm-hmm. Steve Belichick, I heard a clip. I went on Boston Radio yesterday when they used a Steve Belichick clip talking about the Titans offense coming back from, you know, before I came in there. I thought it was Bill. Like when I was on the phone, the way Steve Belichick was talking, he was like, well, you know, they've, you know, been running the ball, you know, as well as anybody, you know, this year in the league, and they got great offensive line, and you know, Swaim is, you know, kind of like a sixth offensive lineman, but he's, you know, played tight end real well for them, and, you know, they've got guys who, you know, have caught the ball, been real effective, and, you know, Tannehill's done a lot of good things for them, and, you know, it's a really solid offense. And I'm like, and they were like, and the host was like, Steve Belichick talking about the time, like, is that Steve or was that Bill? Because it sounded like Bill.
Belichick knew at some point he and Brady were going to part ways. And even though Brady went to Tampa and won a Super Bowl and all that, you know, when you're sort of planning and have a long-term vision for your franchise, you don't expect your quarterback to play it at age 44. But beyond that, last year was almost a redshirt year collectively for the Patriots.
Yeah, they had to reset the cap.
Not only reset the cap, but they had an unprecedented amount of guys who opted out because of COVID-19, starting with Dante Hightower. Just a number. But as far as what Belichick has done, they do as good or better job of manipulating through the draft, of just keep multiplying picks. And their whole attitude is, we love second-round picks because they're not as expensive as first-round picks. But a lot of the times you can get a first-round player. And they've had, you know, by sheer volume, you know, they've found players. But they make a ton of mistakes in the draft. I mean, it shows how imperfect the science it is. N'Keal Harry out of Arizona State.
Yeah.
I remember Blaine Bishop coming back and telling me that this guy was going to be the next. And he hasn't really done anything with the Patriots. And he's been one of the few first-round picks that they have. But the way Belichick runs that organization, I don't care what anybody says, he's a genius.
He is. And the players that he picks, it has to fit the identity of their team.
Yeah.
I mean, look at Mac Jones. He's I'm not saying he's good as Brady, but he fits the mold.
But what I'm saying is, too, in terms of personnel, yeah, they've made a ton of bad moves.
Yeah.
They brought Albert Haynesworth in there once. Yeah, and Belichick's whole thing is, we'll bring him in, we'll try him, and if it doesn't work out.
Yeah, and if you're not committed to somebody, it's not a bad move because you just brought him in and it didn't work and you didn't pay him anything. So when you trade a second-round pick and take on $15 million in cap space for Julio Jones and he's never healthy, that's a bad move.
Who's the guy from Baltimore they signed about 7 or 8, maybe 10 years ago, who was great in Baltimore?
What position?
He played defense.
Adalis Thomas.
Okay. And they brought him in, and he just didn't fit.
Yeah.
And it was a terrible signing. That stuff happens. But the thing that Belichick has done for the organization, because he has so many draft picks, they get a lot more swings at the plate.
Yeah, sure.
And only the home runs and doubles count. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter how many times you strike out. Mm-hmm. You know, his batting average probably is not as good as a lot of teams. But because they go in there with so many extra picks, you just have, just by the percentages, you have a better chance of hitting on some players.
So I'm not supposed to know this, but I do. In the 2010 draft, I think that's second-round picks, they were talking about Gronk. Mm-hmm. Floyd said, don't do it. Told Bill, because of the back injuries and everything. Yeah. You know, Floyd's anti-injuries. Floyd tells Bill, don't do it. John Robinson, who we know is pro-injuries, says, do it. Bill does it, Gronk becomes Gronk. And now we see why John drafts a certain way and Floyd drafted a certain way.
That's awesome.
Coming up next, TD from Foxborough. Come on, T. What do we think about the decimated Titans? We'll get TD's thoughts. We'll do that next. Right here, it's the pregame show on ESPN 102.5 The Game. TD joins us, as always, on the pregame show, brought to you by Freedom Tire Guys, Nashville's premier mobile tire company, online at freedomtireguys.com. TD is hanging out in Foxborough at Gillette Stadium, as you can hear. And TD, let's start with this. Who's going to play at wide receiver for the Titans? What does it look like so far?
Yeah, well, you know, I had a long conversation with Coach Vrabel, and I told him, man, I can't do it. I can't do it today for him. So, no, I mean, look, it's going to be Cody Hollister. That's really the guy I think they're going to, you know, try it out there. And I see him probably being the starter at X. And, you know, Nick Westbrook-Kinney at Z and Chester Rogers at slot. And that's what they'll probably rock with. Obviously, Fitzpatrick is in the mix. But I just don't know that he could be trusted. After some of the things that happened last week as far as, you know, those interceptions that he was basically at the root of.
TD, this is going to sound like a weird question and maybe more about what happened during the week. The belief in the Titans, we know who all's out and we know all the names. It's hard to see the Titans winning, but Vrabel has had a way during the years of getting this team ready to play in games like this. What was the discussion like with the players throughout the week, knowing how shorthanded they're going to be today against the Patriots?
Well, it's just comes down to each one of them doing their 11th part of it, you know, when they're on the field, right? And that's been the mindset that they have, is they just have to do their job and control what they can control. They have no control over, you know, who gets hurt, who doesn't, et cetera. And each guy individually is just looking to play their part so as a group they can elevate and make up for the guys that aren't there.
We're speaking to Titans beat writer Teron Davenport from ESPN and ESPN.com. TD, how does Todd Downing, the Titans offensive coordinator, help his quarterback today?
I think really it's going to come down to doing a lot of things to get these guys open quickly, right? When you look at the options that he has at receivers, you don't really have guys who are just going to consistently beat one-on-one coverage and get open. So bunch formation, you know, switch releases and those type of things, like they did against the Jets, you know, where they had a bunch formation and the furthest most, number one and number two, they ran slants. Number three, the furthest inside guy ran an outbreaking route, and you're just causing traffic jams, and that will help guys get open. You know, when you stack them up like that, it creates natural space, and that's what you want to do against this Patriots defense that is playing really well. I mean, you look at that stretch over the five games that they've had, they've generated 13 turnovers, so they're very opportunistic, and they'll be looking to jump routes and do those type of things.
Titans are really banged up at linebacker. How concerned do you think that that makes Shane Bowen with Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith as the Patriots' tight ends?
Yeah, there should be a lot of concern. It's ironic you say that because Jim Haslett, the inside linebacker coach, just strutted by. Hunter Henry in the red zone has been a problem for opposing defenses. He has 7 touchdowns. He's been pretty much a safety net for Mac Jones, and that's something that, you know, rookie quarterbacks, they tend to lean towards tight ends, you know, guys that make for easy throws, you know, high percentage throws. So I think really it's going to be about the guys that they do have available, Jayon Brown, you know, Monty Rice. These guys are going to have to come up, and I think it's all about just throughout coverage. It's all about getting up and causing what I call chatter at the line of scrimmage, right? Get up there, jam them. Don't let them get the free release. That can knock the timing off. And now you got Mac Jones patting the ball, trying to work through his reads, while you have the guys like Jeffrey Simmons and Landry trying to close down on him. So I think that's really the way you go about it, whether it's the tight ends or the receivers.
Yeah, TD, this is Chris. I mean, hey, Mac Jones is playing pretty good. He's thrown for over 2,500 yards and completing 70% of his passes. What can Shane Bowen do to really confuse him in the secondary, but also put pressure on him and not let him step up and make the pass in the pocket?
Going in and out on that one, Ralph Sampson. I need.
What? You hear me?
I said Ralph Sampson. You were going in and out on that one.
Okay. Here we go. He called me Ralph. No, I'm saying Mac Jones has been playing at a pretty good level. He's throwing for over 2,500 yards. He's completing 70% of his passes. What can Shane Bowen do to put pressure on him and make him make mistakes?
I can't hear the question.
You can't hear the question?
I think the Patriots are cutting through the communication.
Can you hear me now?
I think it's that cricket
phone he got, man. Hey, man, you got the phone. He can't hear us.
I think we lost Teron Davenport. That's okay.
Oh, wait, I got you now. You got,
you want me to do it again?
One
you
more
good?
Time.
All right, here we go. Yeah. Here we go. Okay. Mac Jones has been playing at a top level. He's throwing for over 2,500 yards, and he's completing 70% of his passes. What can Shane Bourne do to confuse him in the pocket and also make him make interceptions?
Yeah, I think really the main thing, like I said, you got to get up on those receivers and knock the timing off. That's really the big thing, because it's a timing offense. This is a lot like what, you know, when Tom Brady, before he became the gunslinger and down the field passer that he was, this is what they did with him, right? It was all timing, quick passing game and those type of things. So I think it's going to be important to get up and, like I said, cause that chatter. But the guys up front, you know, Jeffrey Simmons, Autry, those guys, it's a must for them. If they feel like they're not getting home, you got to match hands, put them up. Yep. When the quarterback raises his hand, put yours up and try to knock the ball down. You know, that ball disruption, get a tip pass, and then someone like Byard or Jayon Brown, whoever, could pick it off, and now you're getting like a found opportunity.
Okay, well, the Patriots, I'm going to switch to defense for a second. The Patriots are sixth in stopping the run. Do you think that Foreman and Hill can be effective running the ball today?
Oh, you're not putting me on the spot. That's a question I will quickly say no to. I mean, that's really the bottom.
You Come on, Sam. You can do it.
A presence. You want to establish a presence that, you know, like that you're going to run the football, but I don't think it's going to be successful. I mean, this team is just
See,
too good against
saying.
The run. And a guy to pay attention to that, you know, really doesn't get a lot of buzz, but Lawrence Guy along their defensive line, he's a very good run defender. Watch him today. He's really good at you know, clogging up those lanes and just keeping teams from being able to run the football.
TD, on a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being the most shocked you will be if the Titans with this roster pull off an upset, what would you put it at?
I'll probably say 7. But, I mean, a win today would be a Mike Vrabel special, because that's what Coach Vrabel does consistently. He's able to go ahead and cause, you know, win games that they just really have no business winning. Look at the Rams game. So it wouldn't shock me. But still, I would be a bit surprised if they pull this one off, because their hands are tied.
TD, as always, at the stadium. TD, appreciate you.
For sure, man. Appreciate you guys. Sorry about the technical difficulties.
Oh, you good?
That's okay. We just blame the Patriots
blame
for that
on Verizon.
TD presented by
Appreciate
Freedom
you,
Tire Guys. As always, brought to you by Freedom Tire Guys, National's premier mobile tire company, online at freedomtireguys.com.
What do you call me?
7 out of 10 on the TD shock scale if the Titans pull the upset. Scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the most shocked you could be.
7.5 to 8.
I would say 8 also.
Oh, I'm like 9.85.
Of course you are.
I mean, look, who do they have?
Yeah, but, man, it'll be a special. Mike Vrabel always does something crazy in these crazy games.
And this is the thing about the Vrabel special, which also scares the crap out of me, which is the Vrabel teams, when there are games that you have no excuse to lose, like last week, they lose. When you have no shot of winning, you win. What's the schedule the rest of the way? Dolphins.
Dude, hard.
49ers.
Again.
Jacksonville.
Hurt.
Texans. So if we are to believe that the Vrabel special is a thing, which I do believe in, it does scare me for down the stretch that he can't get these boys ready to play in these big games. Because as much as this game, you know, we're thinking about this now, you're going to have to win those games down the stretch. And they should win them. But again,
it's the NFL, baby.
Vrabel special. The other side of it is the Jets and the Texans.
Yeah, I think your evaluation is a bit of an exaggeration because, you know, he has lost some games that he shouldn't have.
Right.
But, you know, to talk about that across the board, I think is inaccurate.
I think the Titans need to win 3 more games this year. 11 wins, I think, wins the division. 11-6. And
you're shooting low, man.
Jeez.
Well,
I think they can get to 12, and maybe even 13.
No, I think they can. I'm just saying they need to get to 11.
Yeah.
And they should down the rest of the way with Dolphins, Texans, Jags, 49ers.
Dude, those are scary teams.
They're really not, but
okay, I'm gonna tell you. Go ahead.
Well, they're not more scary than this team or the Steelers.
No, I understand. I'm just saying you're talking about teams that their seasons are over, basically, but those guys are auditioning for teams. So those guys are going to play. Those guys are going to play hard.
Oh,
so
I'm not saying the Titans can't lose those games. I'm saying they need to win three of those games in order to get in the playoffs. And I'm nervous that if they don't get some of these guys back, that they're not going to be able to do so.
I know those are, and those are just guys. Those are impact players that we're talking about. I mean, that's just a tough deal for the Tennessee Titans.
I still think it's set up for success for them. And if they can get past this, you know, if they win today.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, if they win today, oh, my God.
It's pretty much a clear path to the division and maybe even the first seed. So I don't know if the first seed is gettable anymore, but the Patriots are going to lose some games after this week too.
Oh, yeah, they got two with the Bills coming up.
Yeah, I mean, so this has been a year where even the dominant teams have gone through stretches. Look at the Rams. The Rams haven't played well in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're coming out of their bye week.
Buccaneers have had some bad weeks.
Bucks have definitely had some hiccups. Could easily lose this week. So
I would say if they pull this one off, you know, when people say, like, oh, this guy's coaching for his job this week or something like that, I think Vrabel is coaching for the Coach of the Year award today, because if they win today, I don't know how you couldn't give Vrabel the Coach of the Year award. Coming up next are picks to click. Who's got a click for the Titans on offense? Who's got a click for the defense? We'll do that. Plus, we'll take a look at the sports books and our game day predictions. So don't go anywhere. Live from the Corner Pub in Bellevue, it's the pregame show on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Picks to click on the pregame show, brought to you every week by Parman Tractor and Equipment. We are 1 hour to kick off Titans and Patriots. Who has got to click for the Titans to take care of business today? And, boy, is it going to be hard to take care of business given all the injuries for the Titans. But, as always, we start off with optimistic Chris, Chris Sanders, who is going to get us going. Who's got to click offensively for the Titans?
I mean, I know all three of us are probably going to pick the same guy, but I'm going with Foreman. I know all of us are going to pick him, so I'm just quick to the draw. But I just think that I agree with you 100%. They need to run the ball. They have to run the ball to have time of possession to stay front of the chains. And the guy to do it is Foreman. So I'm going with Foreman on offense.
So do you think they're going to commit to running the football with him today?
I mean, I kind of agree with you. They're going to have to. I mean, they're going to have to run the ball to set up the pass and get those receivers open. Because if you can't run the ball, you're not going to win in this league. So, you know, they got to stay in front of the chains. You can't get in second and 12 or third and 15. You got to try to stay in front of the chains. And I think Foreman, with his powerful running style, can stay in front of the chains.
Yeah, mine's going to be Ryan Tannehill. I know it's the season of giving and all that, but he's got to be a little more Scrooge-like. Yeah. He cannot be turning the ball over today. And I'll just go out and say, if Tannehill has a good day today, the Titans will win.
I do not believe the Titans can have one turnover in this game today.
I would
agree with that. I think they could have survived with four last week against the Texans, but it was the fifth one that did them in, whether it was the Rodgers fumble or whether it was one of those, you know, goal line Tannehill interceptions. You know, you could have won with four against the Texans. You probably do win with three against the Texans, but it was the fifth one that did you in. This week, one turnover, I think, gets you beat.
You know, it's funny. If they beat the Jets, if they beat the Texans, neither won a tall order. They'd be writing books about this team.
Oh. Absolutely.
Oh, my pick to click offensively, since he took Deontay Foreman, and because you're taking Ryan Tannehill, so it leaves me with, like, Dez Fitzpatrick or something like that. I am going to go today with Westbrook Akina. And here's why I'm going to go with Westbrook Akina. Because of all the backup guys all year from the start of camp, and I went to, like, every preseason practice this season from the start of camp until right now, Westbrook Akina is the one guy who shows up every week. You know, Westbrook Akina, other than his fumble against Indianapolis, Westbrook Akina has not had a major mistake this year. Do I think Westbrook Akina is very good? No, I do not. But I don't think Chester Rogers is consistent. We've seen balls off his pads for interceptions. We saw the punt return. We've seen the injuries from Chester Rogers. Do we think Dez Fitzpatrick is consistent? Do we think Cody Hollister is consistent?
Crazy,
Bill is not going to let the Titans go in there and run the football. I think that there is a big, 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 big onus on the shoulders of Nick Westbrook Akina today.
Well, I like him. He blocks. I mean, he does.
He's a solid backup receiver.
Yes.
He kind of reminds me, he's not as good, but Like when you played with Isaac Byrd.
Great comparison, Isaac Byrd. Byrd was just
wow.
And to say that he's not as good as Ike Byrd kind of says, you know, like.
But I, God, you put that in.
Ike Byrd toured with the.
You know, I didn't know this. Did you know Chris was wide open on the final play
Absolutely.
Of Super Bowl 34?
I'm mad today.
Would have been a touchdown if they had thrown the ball
I'm
to Chris
Sanders. I'm mad at Les Deckel. I'm mad at.
Mad at Mac.
Les
Mac
got
didn't
you
go
open.
Through his progressions.
Yeah, he did. I know.
I know. Whitechuck was his second option. I know that.
I know.
And Chris Sanders. I never knew that.
Wide open on the last play of the game.
I'm still mad.
Maybe if Chris had been a little bit more vocal, a little bit more selfish, a little bit more like Odell Beckham, maybe he would have. Defensively, who's got a click today for the Titans? Chris Sanders.
Looking at Mac Jones. Mac Jones is playing good. He's completing 70% of his passes. So somebody needs to put pressure on the quarterback. And I think the guy that's going to do it is Simmons. I'm going with Simmons. Simmons has been playing at a totally different level. Last week he didn't have any sacks, but the weeks before that he had 2, 2, and 1. So if he puts pressure on Mac Jones and makes him make mistakes, I think the Tennessee Titans can be very successful on defense.
I'm going with Byard. You know, I think Byard could sucker Jones into maybe a pick or two today. He's going to have to because I think, you know, as we have, you know, reiterated almost into the ground, that stat, to me, is going to tell the story.
I wonder if Belichick is going to give Byard the Deion Sanders treatment today. The we're not throwing near him.
Oh, it wouldn't surprise me at all.
Because, you know, he knows the state the Titans are in, and he knows he can throw short with the tight ends and guys like Kendrick Bourne and stuff like that underneath today and throw to the backs. And it's kind of like, all right, if Byard is on the right side of the field, Mac, we are throwing on the left side of the field. Because I'm with you on Byard. And I think both you guys are right here. Because I think Simmons and those boys are going to have to make Mac uncomfortable. And you make a rookie quarterback uncomfortable, he'll make a panic throw that he doesn't want to make. And that's when the ball ends up in the hands of Byard, who I think is going to have one today. But I just think Belichick is telling that kid, you do not throw in the vicinity of 31. I don't care if you take a sack. I don't care if you throw the ball into the eighth row. But you are not throwing near number 31 today. Because Byard's the one guy who can turn this game on its
Absolutely.
Rear end.
You know, and the crazy thing is, going into this game, you know, Mac Jones, and I think it's driving Belichick crazy, you know, too many comparisons to 12, you know, too many comparisons to early Brady, leading them to Super Bowls.
Sure.
And I love it. I mean, that said, and I don't think it's going to affect him. He just seems to be one of those kids. But invariably, He'll have a subpar game, and maybe this is the one.
And Brady had subpar games,
yes,
you know, that
did.
First year. And on top of that, the thing that's funny is this is how I think Bill wants to play.
Yeah.
Like, I know, you know, Brady when he was MVP and Randy Moss. Like, this is how I think Bill wants to win, this kind of game, which is why I think the Titans want to win this way too, because that's how Vrabel was raised, and that's what they want Tannehill to do is not turn the football over.
Well, I would disagree with that. I think the great thing about Belichick is he is the essence of a great coach, and he'll coach to what he has. In those years, it behooved them, you know, to be a lot more offensive-oriented.
I don't disagree with that. I think he's this willing
team,
to
I
win.
Think he, I think he's comfortable, you know, playing this style. I think he's very comfortable being a defense-oriented team. Because in my mind, he's the best defensive coordinator who ever walked this earth.
Oh, sure.
And, you know, don't think that Steve Belichick's doing it all by himself, but Belichick's a pretty capable coach. But Bill Belichick will put his 2 cents in, guarantee you. He could win a Super Bowl with this team, which would be, you know, to me, the ultimate shut up. To last year. I mean, it really is.
Yeah.
I would say that when Steve Belichick was kind of the de facto defensive coordinator, Floyd went out of his way to make sure that I knew, don't be thinking Bill's not the one calling the shots here. You know, that was the way that Floyd kind of – and I agree with you. Bill will win however it takes for Bill to win, but I think this kind of way is how Bill wants to win. You know, we're going to play defense and take care of the ball. And I think that's how Vrabel wants to win, too. You know, Vrabel hasn't really played defense until earlier this year, but I think that's the way that he wants to win as well, which is defense and taking care of the ball. For me, my pick to click is Elijah Molden. I think Elijah Molden's starting to come on a little bit. And I thought he had a decent game against the Texans. I think he gets better every week. But I think they're going to be scared to death of throwing by Byard, and he's going to get matched up in the slot and some of these tough rubs and digs that they're going to really, you know, kind of try to confuse him on or whatever. If Molden can get his hands on a football, mm-hmm. I think that can change the course of the game, and I'm starting to like the way he's starting to play.
See, I said that a little earlier. That's the kind of matchups that I'm a little nervous about.
Sure.
If he's matched up on a receiver that's speedy. I mean, Elijah Molden is
– They really don't have a bevy of speedy receivers.
Aguilar's been pretty
good. Well, they're not going to put Aguilar in him.
I'm just saying.
I think Christian Fulton gets Aguilar.
I'm just saying, in general, any one of those matchups that we see, okay, you know, it's man-to-man across the board, and Mac Jones just chucks it because of the read. So, you know, I kind of like that pick a little bit.
We'll see how Molden does out there as well. Fulton is back. That is one kind of bright spot for the Titans. Coming up next, we'll take a look at the sports books. What are they saying about today's game? Plus, we'll make our final game day picks as we get you set for Titans and Patriots live from the Corner Pub in Bellevue. It's Mark, Jared, and Chris. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Will Ryan Tannehill outduel rookie Mac Jones in Foxborough?
Touchdown pass from Mac Jones!
Or is a second straight loss in store for the Titans going into the bye week?
That cannot happen.
No!
Tune in all day Monday for full reaction to Titans-Patriots.
Talking Titans?
We are Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Hey Nashville, looking to spruce up your home for the holidays? Social Furniture on the West Side has you covered. They're packed with items you can either take home with you or have them delivered to you the same day. You've heard of inventory shortages. Well, not at Social Furniture. At Social Furniture, you can get your new furniture today. Yes, the same day. For instance, take this designer leather sectional. For not $3,000, it's only $12.99 with today's delivery. At Social Furniture, the savings are huge out there. They're located on the west side, 5412 Charlotte Avenue near Whitebridge Road. Maybe you need some chairs for your table, or you have guests for the holidays and need furniture fast. Well, you can find it all at Social Furniture. They have thousands of combinations to choose from, and they'll deliver today. And guess what? The best thing is you don't have to pay today. You can take 12 months to pay with no interest. So load up the family and come to Social Furniture today on Charlotte Avenue in West Nashville.
Hey, Darren McFarland here. This Thanksgiving, be thankful for free bets. Yes, I said free bets. Hope I have your attention now. That's right, DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the NFL, has a Turkey Day no-brainer. Who doesn't love no-brainers? I know I do. New customers can bet just $1 on any Thanksgiving NFL game. Remember, it's a triple header this year. Win $100 in free bets if either team scores a point. That's all you need to have happen. All DraftKings customers can also get in on a new same-game parlay offer that's sweeter than that pumpkin pie you're going to have. For the Thanksgiving games, all customers get a risk-free bet up to $25 if your same-game parlay doesn't win. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app right now. Use that code 1025GAME and bet just $1 of your money on any Thanksgiving NFL game to win $100 in free bets if either team scores a point. That code again, 1025GAME, this Thanksgiving. At DraftKings Sportsbook, you must be 21 years of age or older, Tennessee only. Restrictions do apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook. For details, if you or someone you know has a gambling problem and needs help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
Hey Nashville, we think you deserve the very best driving experience. And now is the time for our Season of Change CPO event at Mercedes-Benz of Music City. When you purchase a certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz, you're backed by the remaining new vehicle limited warranty. Once that expires, the certified pre-owned limited warranty goes into effect, providing an additional 12 months of coverage with unlimited miles. See all the perks and exceptional offers for your certified pre-owned vehicle from Mercedes-Benz of Music City, mbofmc.com.
Later today.
Can they get scored? And Nashville are going to go to Philadelphia.
It's round two of the MLS Cup playoffs. When Nashville Soccer Club visits the Philadelphia Union, coverage begins at 4:15.
On ESPN.
94.9 and the Game Nashville app.
Hey Nashville, it's Max Kellerman, and you're listening to Nashville's best sports talk, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Live from the Corner Pub in Bellevue, Mark Howard, Chris Sanders, Jared Stillman. It is the pregame show. Titans and Patriots. Time now to take a look around the sports books. That's right, around the sports books presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. The latest odds on today's game are brought to you by the FanDuel Sportsbook app, America's number one sportsbook, and my official sportsbook app. We start where we've got Titans and Patriots today on the sportsbook. Not looking pretty for the Tennessee Titans, who come into this game, well, 7.5 is the line. It was originally 6.5. It's up to 7. Now it's 7.5 before closing. The Titans are 7.5-point underdogs in today's game. Are you surprised, Mark Howard, by that line?
Well, what's interesting about this game is that last Sunday, you could have bet the Patriots -3.
Yep.
And it's not so much A.J. Brown getting hurt. It's just the public saw what happened against Houston, and they played so poorly, and the Patriots are playing so well. It's pretty unusual to see a line shoot up 4.5 points. I mean, it really is. And most of the Sharpies are taking the Titans today.
I just think that the loss to the Texans made that number go up so high.
Oh, no.
If they'd have won it, it probably would
have been. Well, and A.J. Brown got hurt in the loss to the Texans, so that's probably a part of it, too.
Oh, absolutely.
Meanwhile, anytime touchdown score. So this is somebody who possesses the football on a touchdown score.
Okay.
There is one Titan listed amongst the top 5, and there are 2 Titans amongst the top 7. Ramondre Stevenson is the leader in the clubhouse, +120. Damian Harris, +125. Hunter Henry, +210. Jacoby Myers, +230. Deontay Foreman, +250. So that's the highest Titan with odds to score a touchdown today. Deontay Foreman, +250. Nelson Aguilar, +260. Kendrick Bourne, +270. Dontrell Hilliard is finally the second Titan in there at +270. You guys want to guess the third Titan?
Westbrook.
Nope. He was close, though.
Cody Hollister.
Nope. Dez Fitzpatrick at +370 is the third Titan available for you to pick as an anytime touchdown
Insane.
Scorer.
Insane.
It's all your fault, Jared.
It's got to be Hilliard, right? I mean, Hilliard or Foreman.
Yeah, I would take Hilliard.
Hilliard +270 or Foreman +250 because they're roughly same odds.
Hilliard.
I would go with Hilliard.
Taking a look at the taking a look at the rushing yards, Deontay Foreman, in order to lead, +500. Dontrell Hilliard, +950. This is an interesting one. If today's leading rusher is Ryan Tannehill, you're +4,000.
Really?
I mean, I'm not going to say that I think Tannehill's going to lead the game
it's
in rushing.
It's conceivable.
It is.
And I told you earlier, I think one thing Belichick's taken away on offense is he's not letting Tannehill run with the football
today. Absolutely.
But I think there's a chance in this game that Tannehill could pop one of those like 65-yard runs. The Patriots could have Damian Harris with 42 and Ramondre Stevenson with 55. And, you know, the Titans have, you know, 35 and 26, and Tannehill's the leading rusher for the game.
Well, I think you got something there because I think getting Tannehill out on the perimeter is going to be one of the game plan points.
Yeah, but a 65-yard run?
He's done it before, Green Bay last year.
Yeah, but this is a little different monster he's dealing with.
Green Bay was pretty good last year.
Their defense wasn't that good.
Oh, Green Bay's defense pretty good. Meanwhile, for rushing yards, over under Dontrell Hilliard, 31.5. Deontay Foreman, 45.5.
I say under.
Foreman has to be over for the Titans having a chance to win.
I don't think he's going
to
get it under.
Foreman's got to be about 85 in my opinion.
I'm going to say Hilliard over.
Hilliard over the 31.5?
Yeah.
I think Foreman's getting the ball today. I think Foreman's got to be the magic number for Foreman. For me, is 70. If he's over 70, they got a chance. If he's under 70, I don't think they have a chance to win today. Meanwhile, Titan passing yards. Nick Westbrook Akina, 40.5.
Oh, over.
Dez Fitzpatrick, 32.5. Anthony Firkser, 20.5. Dontrell Hilliard, 22.5. And Deontay Foreman, 8.5.
That's like a flare catch.
Are there any of these that you would feel comfortable taking?
Westbrook.
I mean, I'd feel comfortable taking under Dez Fitzpatrick, 32.5.
I could see that.
Yeah. But I would go over with Westbrook.
Okay, what do you guys think the passing yard over-under is on Tannehill today? Oh, my God.
190. 209.
109. 190.
213.
It was close.
So they really don't think the Titans are going to throw today.
I don't know. Nope.
Well, how can they be under 40 with Deontay Foreman, Tannehill throw under 213 and still have a chance to win the game? Because I know we're getting ready to make our predictions. Mm-hmm. I think you're about to pick the Titans to win today.
Oh, Inquiring minds want
to
know.
I think, Chris, do you think Chris is going to pick the Titans to win today?
Yes.
I do, too. So you have to explain to me, if the Titans are going to win, okay, how it's under 40 gotcha yards for Foreman gotcha and under 213 yards for Tannehill.
I don't know. You got inquiring minds want to know. I can't tell you yet.
That's sorry a look at the sports books today on the program. A look at the sports books presented by FanDuel Sportsbook, America's number one sportsbook app. Time now for our game day picks. Brought to you every week by Social Furniture, located at 5412 Charlotte Avenue in Nashville. Shop local, shop social. Chris Sanders, yes. Who wins today? What's the final score? And how can they do it with Ryan Tannehill throwing under 213 yards and Deontay Foreman rushing under 40?
I'm going with, and you can see it right here, I got it written down, Patriots 20, Titans 17. I just think that the Titans have too many impact players hurt. I think their defense is going to keep them in it to keep it close. But I just think the, I think the Patriots are going to win 20-17.
What do we think of Chris's 180?
Wow.
I mean, he started the show up there. No. Like, the reason why I think the Titans are going to be able to win today is
It's just really hard to pick them to win.
But any score on defense, man, I don't know.
I'm saying Patriots 24, Titans 13.
Why?
Because I just don't think the Titans are going to do anything offensively today. So, no turnovers or not.
I think this is going to be a lot uglier than people think. I'm going to go Patriots 14-3.
What?
So I think it's going to be really ugly, yeah, really low scoring. I think that both quarterbacks have it drilled into their heads. Under no circumstances do you turn over the football. We're going to see a lot of running. We're going to see a lot of short passing. We're going to see a lot of punting today. I think that's how Vrabel wants to play it. I think that's how Bill wants to play it. But ultimately, I think the Titans make a mistake. One of these receivers fumbles a football or something. Patriots score on a short field. Titans can't move the football and do anything offensively. They score 3 points. I'll go 14-3 for the Patriots today.
I think the impact player of this game, I wish I would have picked him, was Kern. If Kern can kick
it. Punting will matter.
Yeah, I know that sounds crazy.
Punting
will matter. But if he kicks it and they get him on their one-yard line, they get a sack or a safety or whatever, then the Tennessee Titans score on defense. That's how the Tennessee Titans are going
to
win.
Our final game day picks are brought to you every week by Social Furniture, located at 5412 Charlotte Avenue in Nashville. Shop local, shop social. That's going to do it for us. We are out of here today. Tomorrow, Jared in the gym. Tomorrow, yeah. Stillman and Company at 2 o'clock. We'll have a full reaction. Plus, we're off next week with the Titans on a bye, so we will be back prior to the Jacksonville game in a couple of weeks, location TBD. So we will get that figured out for the Corner Pub here in Bellevue. For all of our staff, Chris Sanders, Mark Howard, we will see you tomorrow.
From the Music City Bowl.
84 yards for the touchdown.
To the Rose Bowl and Sugar Bowl on New Year's Day.
Touchdown.
To the College Football Playoff and National Championship. Yes.